about generosity. And we're talking about generosity because God's a generous God. The kingdom of God is about generosity in every way. And last week, I tried to challenge your view of God. I tried to say, whenever you think about God, do you think of God as a giver or a taker? Because the way that you view God and the way that you see God is going to determine, whenever you read the Bible, what you get out of it. So if in your mind, God is a taker, so when it comes to particularly money, time, or whatever, then you're going to absolutely be terrified whenever you approach the word, because it's going to seem like a despotic God who wants to take everything from you. But I said last week, God is never a taker. God's a giver. Every time God comes into your life, it's to give you good things. He never takes anything from you. He wants to channel. He wants you to be a channel of riches. This is what I said last week. What really counts? He wants you to get your mind focused on what you do take with you and things that have a ring for eternity. What I said last week in John 17:3 was that whenever Jesus was describing his heart for you and his heart for the kingdom, he said, I want you to know God. So if you want to know what the heart of God is for you this morning, he said, I want you to know God. It was this word, ginosko, which means to experience. And that's what God wants to do. He wants you to experience the fullness of God. Our world is a selfish one. You know, all the messages that we get all around us every day is about self. It's about looking after you. And the battle every day that we have is to have more of God and less of us. And selfishness is something that we battle with. And I talked about that last week. This is just a quick general overview. The strongholds that I described in our lives over the last few weeks are anti-God and anti-kingdom. Deep-seated ideas and beliefs that control eventually our thoughts and our behavior. And that's why we're talking about, not about giving, but about generosity. You know, I said many churches will just bang you over the head and say, give, 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 give. And if you're not giving, then somehow there's something wrong with you. Actually, I don't believe that that is the kingdom mentality. I believe that whenever Jesus came, he came to set you free, not to manipulate you and to coerce you into giving your time and your money. Even that is a loaded statement, which we're going to look at this morning. But what he did was he came to set you free to be generous. Generous in every way. There are churches who get caught up in prosperity and money and all the rest of it. But actually what Jesus talked about was, will you be a steward of heaven's riches? Will you actually learn to steward what is really important? Jesus in Luke 16 described money as the least of your worries. But what we do is we make it into the most of our worries. So the thing that consumes people the most today is, will I have enough? Will I get through? Will I be blessed? Will I be prospered? And Jesus, when you read in Luke 16, came along and said, what on earth are you worrying about that for? That's the very least that you need to worry about. I actually came that you could know God, John 17:3, ginosko, experience him in Greek. I want you to know the fullness of the kingdom. I want you to know healing and restoration and deliverance. I want you to know what it means to bring the kingdom of God here to the earth and see men and women saved and set free. Now, don't screw it up over money. And what we did was we demonstrated that one of the strongholds in our lives were money. And so that's why we're not talking about giving, because I could make you feel bad. Honestly, I could pull out every verse of the Bible and go, oh, this is terrible. These are all not even Christians. Give me your money. And totally have missed the point, because the message of the kingdom is true riches and generosity. Being generous people with our lives, our time, and everything, and money is just a part of it. That's what it says in Proverbs 11:24-25. It says, there is one who scatters and yet increases more, next verse, and withholds more than what is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also himself be watered. So that's my vision for this church, a people whose lives are a reflection of the kingdom, the normal demonstration of what we do being at the kingdom of God, love, joy, peace, healing, authority, provision, blessing, and abundance, all of that. And that is why, as a church, we preach the grace message. Do you understand that? People go, well, this is just about you getting name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. What utter nonsense. You know, during the summer, I was asked to do a BBC radio interview. Oh, no, it was part of a documentary for the BBC, which was nerve-wracking, because straight away, you kind of know the questions that are going to come up. And there's five or six churches. One of them was a big tabernacle on the other side of Belfast. I'll not name it. I just did. Oops. And so anyway, so they had me on, Mr. Grace Teacher and a few other, you know, and I was saying, well, actually, you know, I don't understand how people will ever change under fear and condemnation. If you tell people continually where they're bad and where they're getting it wrong, what they do is they focus on that, it brings strongholds into their lives, and they never change. Actually, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus ministers how to change and how to become more like him. I said, why do we, he asked me the question, well, why do you preach love? And I said, well, 1 John 4, verse 8, next verse says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So whenever there's a stronghold in your life, the Bible doesn't say have more faith, it says have more love. Whenever the church, some churches preach, you need to have more faith. No, you don't. You need to have a bigger revelation of God's love. Why? Because the more you understand God's love, his nature revealed, and how he loves you, what happens is the bigger the view of God's love becomes, the smaller everything else does. And it drives out fear. Love and fear can't coexist. So we don't preach get more faith. We don't preach be a better person. We preach get rooted and grounded, Ephesians 3, 16 through 20, in the love of God. And so that's what I said. And they put the pastor, you know who I'm talking about, they put him beside me going, all these churches ever preach is love, 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 love. What about sin? And then they cut me back in going, I see that, mate, that doesn't work. This is me talking to Robbie, who was the producer. It sounded like me and him were having a ding-dong. I was like, oh, flipping Nora. But the point is that generous people, see, if you're in fear over your money and you're in fear over your time, you'll never be generous and be liberal and sow and see the return that God wants to bring into your life. It'll just never happen. That's why we preach love. That's why we preach, understand the way that God loves you. Understand that he is trustworthy. Remember last week, the talk was called multiplication in your life begins with trust. You'll never see multiplication if you don't trust God. And we took the story of the rich young ruler, and I said that Jesus was trying to show him so much more. The point of the story of the rich young ruler was not for Jesus to go, tut, 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 possessions are awful, give them away. Because on a show of hands last week, I said, how many people have sold their stuff this week and given the money to the poor, like, and not one hand went up? Like, could it be that Jesus was talking about something more? Yes. He was talking about true kingdom riches. His heart for the rich young ruler was, you know what? You've got a heart for God. You've got obviously a heart for the kingdom, but you are stuck up on not being able to trust me that the life that you're looking for. Remember, the rich young ruler didn't ask for more money. He asked for eternal life. He asked for the riches of the kingdom. How do I get the quality of God life that I am so hungry for? And Jesus said, you know what? The issue is not the possessions are bad, but simply they own you. And you trust them more than you trust me. That was the heart of God. I believe Jesus' heart broke that day. I don't believe he was angry across. I believe his heart broke and said, there's so much more for you. So much more. Don't screw it up over money, huh? So what I want to do is, where do you start? I'm going to rattle through this quickly, okay? And what I want to do today is to look at, where does trust actually begin? What does it really look like? Because at some point, here's the rub, folks. At some point, I can preach a blinder sermon every week, which I do for you visitors. Marvelous, kingdom of God, brilliant. And that was a wee joke. No, it wasn't. Was it, Wayne? Thank you. I can preach a blinder sermon, give you the truth week after week after week, and we'll be nothing more than fat babies who keep getting fed. And sometimes, see, whenever you get fed and fed and fed, at some point, if you don't exercise it, you just boke and it makes you sick. Isn't that right? If you don't believe me, go home today, buy a chocolate cake and eat it bit after bit after bit. At some point, you're going to bring it back up. The point is, what goes into us is meant to be exercised out. True faith, this is what I'm trying to say today, is always accompanied by appropriate action. At some point, you need to move to action. And I want to encourage you today, if you've never been a giver, don't wait, start and give. If you've never served, get to it. Be generous with your words. When you go to pick up your kids today, and our kids workers are downstairs knocking their pan in, make sure you say thank you. Make sure we honor and bless these guys today who have served us today in leading worship. We want to be generous with everything, and you don't have to fully understand it to get started in it. But what I'm going to say is, at some point in this series, something is going to have to drop in your heart where you're going to go, right, faith requires appropriate action. In James, it talks about faith without works being dead. Now, I'm totally unashamed about this message. I'm in no way apologetic about it, because I believe that the message that we're talking about today is a message that changes lives and creates a community where real riches are evident, not just money being the least, but the kingdom of heaven. That's why we started Exchange. We wanted to see the kingdom in its fullness. And that's why multiplication is important, because if we reduce our Christian walk for me, my family, you, your family, friends and colleagues, it's kind of a narrow view, we're going to miss it. God has deposited in you and wants to multiply the kingdom in you so that this world is reached. You get me? So where do you start? Let me come back to my question. I said last week that God delights in the prosperity of his servant. The prosperity of his servant, that's hard to say. In Psalm 35:27. He absolutely delights whenever you're prospered. I love that verse. To talk about the heart of God. Let God be magnified, his pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. When you flourish in every way, multiply in every way, it does the heart of God some good. Do you know that? I love it. That's why I want to see a generous community. It honors God. A generous community honors God. Your generosity honors God, and it does his heart good. So where are we going to start? Let me talk about money. This is something that changed my life. Remember I told you about the Ponte Rosa Bar? For those of you who don't know, it's a pub in Ireland, way up in the, where do you call it, the Glenshane Pass? Apparently it's closed down. But I had a God moment, one of the most significant God moments in my life, okay? Was on the Ponderosa Bar. I wasn't in it, I was driving past it. And not that it would be any problem if I was in it, but I wasn't at this stage. And after God spoke to me, I probably needed a drink, to be quite fair. But I've been a giver my whole life. But one of the things I didn't understand, I was working hard, working a job, and the thing that God spoke to me was this very clearly. The first step, Andrew Toogood, for you becoming financially responsible, for you being blessed and being multiplied, is to recognize this fact. God is the source of everything in my life. Now, I'm going to expand upon this very quickly because some of us have not get this, don't get it. You see, people are busier, aren't they? People spend more time at work, 60 hours this week. Wow. People say, as a pastor, it's easy. Sure, and you work for half an hour on a Sunday. I went, what, overtime? You must be joking. So we spend so much time working, so much effort and energy, that an interesting thing happens. Number one, we have little time or energy for things outside of our own circle. But secondly, our inside worlds are affected too. What happens is this. The more we work and the busier the world becomes, we slip into this dreadful thinking which locks us into bondage. We're the source of everything in our lives. We're the source. We worked hard, we worked longer, we were dedicated, we studied, we did what we had to do, and so everything financially or otherwise that comes into my life is down to me. We think that we've earned and generated every penny of what we get, and for me, this is not a grace issue. This is one of the most corrupt ways of thinking that robs people of being living generously and seeing true kingdom riches. I mean, look around this morning. All the talent and the ability in this place is amazing, isn't it? Kickboxers and musicians and skydivers and just handsome people. You know, but the point is, please don't laugh. The point is, when you look around at all the talent, I'm going to say this, you didn't choose to be born at this time. You didn't choose to be born in this place. You didn't choose to be born at this point in history. God blessed you with gifts, talents, energy, creative thoughts, ability, time, and opportunity. All of that was given to you by God. So you may work hard, and I don't doubt that for one minute, but let me tell you, you're only using the tools that God gave you. Now, this is the most liberating thing. This was my Ponderosa Bar moment. When I was stressing about my future and I was giving and I was doing all this kind of stuff, and God stepped into my life and said, Andrew, for you to be truly free, you need to stop and understand that everything in your life, I am the source of it and not you. Now, why did that liberate me? See, in order to prosper and to be people who are free to give and free to sow our lives, it starts by understanding that every bit of provision, every bit of blessing is from God as the source and not from us. In Deuteronomy 8:18, next slide, it says that remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to create wealth. Listen to that. Some of you are sitting here today going, God, I need more money, I need more this, I need more that. And God's saying, actually, the way that it works is I give you the ability to create. So whenever Graham Wallace went out on his own, he didn't drive around in a van and go, oh, Jesus, please just give me money today. He went to work, folks. There's some people abuse this grace message and say, I can sit on my bum and do whatever I want, and God's going to bless me. He gives you the ability to create wealth in your covenant of grace. And what happens when we remember this is that it's a prophetic thing for me. And I want to call that out in people. If you've got a business idea today, or if you've got something that's been bubbling in you for a while, then get to it. Because God has given you the ability to create wealth for you, for your family, and for the kingdom. But you know where it really starts? It really starts in understanding that the calling comes to use what God has put in your life and remember that you're simply channeling what he brings to you. Now, why does that help? Well, you see, if you see yourself as the source of everything in your life, if you think that your work and your job and your boss are the one who actually provides for you, then what happens is it brings a huge pressure to control circumstances that are actually way beyond your control. If you don't look, believe me, look at the last 5 years in the financial world. I worked for a bank for 12 years or 11 years or whatever it was. What about people today? Whenever you are responsible, like this freed the life out of me. This was God at the Ponderosa going, I am looking after you. You think you are looking after you, and that's why you're stressed. That's why you're worried. That's why you are, because what has happened is you have taken the responsibility for your life and you've put it on you. I need to work. I need to do. And God says, yes, you do need to work, but you do it because you're blessed and God will bring what you need. He is the source. It all comes from him. Job situations might be scary for some people. You might be starting your own business. The world is uncertain. It has fear and it has insecurity. And oftentimes the church just preaches, work hard, do your bit, you know, and we'll pray that God will bless. You are blessed. That's the whole point. And whenever you stop taking responsibility and remembering that God has got your back and he is the source of every bit of blessing in your life, you may work hard, but you're only using the tools that he has given you. It releases you out of the responsibility to try to create. It's God who does it in you. So what that means for me in terms of my generosity is this. It frees me to be generous because what I understand is that I'm being generous with the riches of heaven. God pouring into my life. And if I stop for a minute and think it's about me, well, hey, presto, that's when the flow stops too. You know, if you're a businessman today like these guys, or whatever it happens to be, or if you're working in another job, I want to tell you, there's an incredible promise from God over your life. Let me go through it very quick. It's Philippians 4:19. Next slide. And my God will supply liberally every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is an incredible promise. We read it, and you know what? Some of us don't even understand it. So I'm going to Greek it up for you very quickly. The first word, two slides on, is supply. Okay? Plerose in Greek. Can you move on there, please? And the next one means this. My God will supply. He will fill you up to capacity, cause to abound, furnish and complete you. All right? Not just get you. He will absolutely furnish you to full supply to capacity. All. So a simple little word in Greek. It means each and every part that makes up the whole picture. Isn't that awesome? So God will fill to capacity every little piece, jigsaw piece of your life. He knows and he will fill you to capacity. All your needs. This is the word crea. It means supply what is necessary for life. Your sustenance for the journey. Isn't this awesome? God knows. Your riches according to, drawn from, drawn against riches. Okay? Plutos in Greek. The abundance and possessions of many kind. My God will fill to capacity every single bit of your life, every piece of the jigsaw, according to, drawn against the riches that he has in heaven, and of those there are many kinds. Isn't that an incredible promise? What that tells you is you're not the source of anything. And I want to release some people here this morning who struggle. So whenever we talk about giving you, I can't give. There's just no way I can give because I just don't have enough and it's just so stressful and you don't understand the bills that I have and all the rest of it. I'm kind of going, do you know what? I walked out of a job 5 years ago. Not knowing, you know, people think that Andrew Tugut won the lottery and that's why he left his job. Andrew Tugut didn't win the lottery. Andrew Tugut doesn't do the lottery just for clarity's sake. But God did something in my heart. And he said, Andrew, when you take steps in your life to go for this, all right, you need to understand that I will supply every single one of your needs according to my riches, not according to you or your hard work. If you're not seeing a flow in your life, let me stop you right now. It's because you think you're responsible. It's a heart condition. If you're not free to give and to be really generous, not to tip God like he's some 17-year-old spotty waiter on a Sunday, all right? Some of us do that. But to be generous and to be liberal, what we haven't understood is that the source of what we're sowing is God himself, and he doesn't run out. It's a wee bit like Silent Valley. For those of us in Belfast, we get our water, I believe, from Silent Valley. Can anyone clarify that one way or the other? good country water by. Brilliant. Now here's the point. This is the way. This is the picture that God gave me. I was walking up Silent Valley with Penny one day, and when we got home, I turned on the tap, and the water came out. And the Lord said to me, "That's the water that you saw today in Silent Valley." And then this is what He started to speak to me. There's a reservoir in Silent Valley full of water, and umpteen thousand houses around Belfast switch on taps, and the water comes out. And what the Lord said to me was this: I have riches in heaven. Okay. That's what the Bible says. But what that means is I've got provision already made for you. That's my source. I will get it to you whatever way you need it, whether it's in your upstairs tap, your downstairs tap, your next door neighbor's tap, or your outside tap. There's one source and many ways for me to get it to you. Do you understand? Does that make sense? Is that a picture that people can connect with? Because all of a sudden I was like, I get it, God. I had one tap in my life. It was my job and my boss. And God said, no, I have about 150,000 taps I can get this supply to you from. Why? Because I'm the source. I want to free you today, very quickly, to say this. You have an incredible promise. If you've been taking responsibility for your provision, carrying the weight and the responsibility for that, I want to tell you this. God is the source. And that's why I said last week, don't worry. He's got enough. Very quickly. Secondly, if you understand this, that you're not the source, what it means then is that if you're not the source of it, if it doesn't come from you and it's not created from you, if you're filled up abundantly by God, then here's the simple truth. If you're not the source, then you're not the owner. When God puts something into our lives, we can make the mistake of thinking that, number one, it's all down to us. No, it's not. I want to tell you this week, if you've got needs, just be thankful to God and say, God, I thank you that you are my source. I'm not going to take responsibility for provision, which clearly you have said, according to your word, that you have supplied all my needs already, Philippians 4:19. So God, I am going to say thank you for providing for everything that I need. Okay? Second thing is this. Don't make the mistake that you think you own it. You're entrusted with every blessing. Title and ownership when God blesses your life does not transfer to you. They remain with God. In Matthew 25:14-30, I don't have time to read it. We read the story of the talents and how guys were given different sort of talents to work with. A talent in today's money is about $500,000. Okay, if you read the Message version, they say 5,000. It's about $500,000. A talent was a measurement of weight. And then when you translate the amount of weight, about 80 pounds, into the various raw materials that they talked about, it works out at about $500,000. Okay, so one talent, $500,000. Some guys were given a lot more than that. And what happens in that story, and it's some very simple truths. God entrusts you with what is His, and it is not yours. Many of us think, here's the mistake, I'm not giving God my money. Or my time. It's not yours. That's not to beat you over the head. That's to free you. Think about it logically. God's the source, and He pours into my life. He uses whatever channel He needs to get it to, and if I've got a heart to see it, I'll see that I have a tap here, a tap here, and a tap here, and if God closes one tap, it doesn't mean that the source is exhausted. Secondly, what He puts into my life is not mine, but I'm simply looking after it for Him. I'm a steward. It's a word we don't use today. How many people go into the bank and say, can I talk to your steward, please? No, you talk to the manager, don't you? And simply put, being a steward means that you're a manager, a person who manages the affairs and the money of other people. And so the core essence here is that you're not the owner of the blessing that God puts in your life, but you're the manager of it. It simply means that you look after it, you care for it, you watch over it, and you see it multiplied. These were two incredible truths. I'm going to have to come back on this next week because I'm going far too fast. These were two incredible truths that changed my life. This is why I left my job 5 years ago or 6 years ago, a bit like Graham, in our case, to start a church and do what we did. Because I had a heart understanding that I did not have to be responsible. Doesn't mean I didn't have to work. He gives me the ability to create. But I was not responsible for the multiplication and the increase in the provision. I simply had to manage what He put in my hand. And all of a sudden, I saw myself as the center and the source, as to being someone where God put into me going, what do I do with it now? And I learned that because I didn't have to create the money and the provision, I could afford to be generous with it. Why? Because there's a whole big supply in heaven waiting for me just to steward out. God doesn't run out. And what I was doing in my life up until the Ponderosa Bar moment, okay, was stopping the flow of God because I thought it was all about me. God, this is going to run out. I had a view that it would run out. And so I didn't give liberally. Now, don't look at anyone else here. I'm going to be finished in 3 minutes. Look at what God has given to you. The whole thing of the talents was some guy got 500,000 and some guy got 5 million. You might look at other people and wonder why they have more than you. But I want to say to you this morning, start and look at what you have been given. I don't care whether you're on the dole or you've got 10 million on the bank. Use it and demonstrate your understanding that you know that God is asking you to look after it for him. One of the things that I loved when God gave me a revelation in my heart about being a steward was this. I didn't have to worry about where it was coming from. I just had to worry about what I was going to do with it when it came. Do you get me? I didn't have to worry about where it was coming from because God was my source. I just had to worry about what I was going to do when it came to me. Now, if I was to ask you, are most of you worrying about where it's coming from? Hands, anyone? Come on, let's be honest. It's the truth, isn't it? Where's it going to come from? I believe that's what God needs to do in our hearts. Rather than you seeing you as the source and you as the center of it and you carrying the weight and the responsibility to see it happen, I think God needs to do something in our hearts to go, actually, we need to be people who understand that he supplies all needs. He is the source of them. And where God, for Graham, it was his father-in-law's business. When God shut that one down, he moved on to something incredible. Working for himself, employing now his wife, which is interesting. And she's a great woman. And but she's now learning sage and all these new skills. An incredible change in the family and just incredible blessing. Why? Because I don't think Graham probably would vocalize it the way that I'm trying to do today. But what he is a living demonstration of is God is a source and he'll get it to you no matter what way you go. Do you get me? Be encouraged by that today. That's why we give. That's why we give. Have you ever stopped to seriously think why God asked you to give? I mean, he owns it all. I often think God could have set this whole deal up differently. Could have made us all independently wealthy. Like Graham. And so money wouldn't have been an issue. Let me say this quickly. There's so many benefits to giving. And I'm going to talk about giving next week. The power of multiplication. Giving is good for you. It doesn't help God out in any way. But your attitude changes. Your heart changes. And rather than being people who just talk about trusting God, giving puts us into a position where actually we put ourselves in a place of trust. Giving is for you and it is not for God. It's one thing to say that you trust God, that he's your source, but it's another thing to prove it. It's not to God, it's for you. Continually reminding and acting in a way that demonstrates your trust and your dependence on who he is. There's a great expression that, you know, God says, the only thing that you get to keep is the thing that you give away. The only thing that you'll get to keep is what you give away. That made no sense to me until I had a heart understanding and revelation that God was my source. So whenever he spoke to me about being a giver of my time and my money, remember we're talking about general things, it's because I understood that what I was managing and what was coming through my hands was his supply that he had called me to manage for him. And every time I gave, what it did was it reminded me of, God, this is yours, and I am sowing it on your behalf in order to see a return. That's what happened in the talents.